Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hello, bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of our Anime Boss in 2019 interview specials. On today's episode, you'll be hearing a super interview with voice actress Kara Edwards, getting her start on Radio Disney with fellow voice actor Kyle O'Hare. Edwards has since gone and become the voice of the iconic Videl and Goten in the Dragon Ball series. Since that time, she has lent her voices to the roles of Kyo Sawagi in Bento, Nymph in Heaven's Lost Property, and most recently, Kaori Asakura in this season's Yuno, a girl who chants love at the bound of this world. B3 was joined by Toonami Faithful, The Geekly Grind, and King Gamer for this press interview. So, power up a Kamehameha and listen to this Anime Boss in 2019 interview special with Kara Edwards.
Greg, we're with Toonami Faithful.
Hi, and Toonami. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you for...
I follow you guys.
Thank you. Definitely want to talk about some Dragon Ball.
Sweet.
What's it been like pretty much voicing both Goten and Videl through the years and like getting to watch them kind of grow, not just through Dragon Ball Z, but with Dragon Ball Super also in the mix as well?
It's unbelievable. Okay, so keep in mind, I have been voicing Goten and Videl for 20 years. So literally half my life, I have been voicing these characters. And it is such a gift that is given to voice actors to be able to sit with characters for that amount of time. It's extremely rare, unheard of. Typically, if you get a new show, it may be a few months. Maybe it's a few seasons. You might go 5 years if you're really, really lucky. I'm sure the series are out there, but typically at some point the voice actors are changed out. So this has been like an incredible run with these characters, which means that I have gotten to grow with them. And it's interesting that, so Videl for me, I feel like we've had these somewhat, like I find so much of myself in her. And I think a lot of women specifically, I think a lot of people can say the exact same thing where it's like, I feel like a kinship. And there's so many things about her personality that I'm very much drawn to and I kind of see within myself. And so, we've had this kind of similar, like I see us both of starting out very young and no, I can do this. And don't you tell me that I can't do something. And I'm just as strong as you are. And I feeling like I had something to prove, just like Videl. And then growing up into an adult and I was pregnant when I voiced Battle of Gods and she announced her pregnancy. And of course I was hormonal, so I bawled like a baby. And I was like, wait, we're about to announce a pregnancy here? And I'm sitting there with my own little Goten. And so I, like, it's just been very personal. You know, because it's so personal and super, I'm ready to see her regain some of her spunk. I love that she's a great mom, and I love that she cares about her family and puts them first. But at the same time, I'm like, but yeah, girl, don't forget, you know, just because you're a mama doesn't mean you can, you know, that everything has to slow down. So I'm very much hoping for something in the future that allows me to bring back my girl. There's one episode in Super specifically where she is defending her daughter, and I'm like, you. And I remember leaving the session, and I was like, oh my God, I feel like I just put on my favorite pair of shoes. You know, it was like, now she's back. Now I feel comfortable in this. As far as Goten for 20 years, we've been through so many, like, story arcs and so many things where he was always this kind of fun character for me to voice, and then I had a little boy. And there was something about having a little boy that, like, oh, that's how real little boys act. That's what they sound like. This is how this actually works. And I was very, this show's just become so big, you know, and I'm so lucky to be a part of it, and I want to leave this legacy for my kiddo. And this is something that he can now have and watch, and he tells people all the time, he's like, I watch so much Dragon Ball, and I'm like, he's never seen Dragon Ball, he's three. It's way too violent, this kid's never seen Dragon Ball. But I rewrite a lot of the scripts in Super. I changed the voice slightly, because now I know what little boys sound like. And so I wanted to make him a real little boy, my little Pinocchio. And I rewrite a lot of the scripts to be things that my kiddo says. And he'll say something funny at home, and I'm like, oh. And then, like, the perfect scene will come up in Super, and I'm like, can we rewrite it to be more like this? Or what about, my kid says this, like, I know when Goten sees Goku Black for the first time, I don't remember what the original script said, but we changed it too, because this was my kid's favorite thing to say at the time, is he would go, what the what? And so I changed it to that. And it's just little moments in there that I just feel like I can't wait to tell him when he's older, like, that was because of you. Like, that was... So, again, I mean, to have the character, like, grow into a mom and have me grow into a mom and then have this little boy, and now I have this little boy, like, I feel this new parallel with the show that I could have never have felt 20 years ago. And it's really special. You're welcome.
Hi there, I'm Eva Bogo, and this is...
I'm Kim.
Hi, Kim.
We're from Boston Bash Media, and I'm also the host of the No Borders, No Race J-Pop and Alternative Podcast Show.
Awesome.
And a little bit latching onto that, and I want to know your personal opinion on how, with the success of recently with, like, Dragon Ball at the box office, like, reaching levels of, like, millions of dollars in ways that people didn't even expect, how do you feel that... not just Dragon Ball, but anime as a whole has evolved within both, like, the eye of anime fans and the mainstream realm.
Okay, and I can give the perfect answer for this. Earlier this morning, I was asked to come to a private meet and greet because the defensive line of the New England Patriots are really big Dragon Ball Z fans. And I was kind of a surreal moment. I'm not a sports fan, so I know. But I recognize really, really big dudes when I see them. And I walked in, I'm like, you guys are really ginormous. And they were so nice. But I was... we did this kind of everyone goes around the room, and they're big fans of Naruto, so, like, Yuri Lowenthal and, you know, Tara's there, and Richard Epcar, and, like, everybody's there, and Johnny Young Bosch. And so we're going around the room, and everyone's introducing themselves, and they get to me, and I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, this is super surreal, because I've been doing this, like I said, half my life. I remember what it was like when people were like, okay, so what's, like, the most popular thing you voice? You're a voice actor, you know, you always have to prove your worth. So it's like, what's the best thing you've ever done? And I said, well, probably the most well-known is this show called Dragon Ball Z. I mean, maybe 50-50 that they might go, yeah, never heard of it. Not the case anymore. I was in my yoga class the other day, and something came up. I've been there forever, and something came up about my job. And I'm like, oh, I'm a voice actor. Are you a voice anything? And I was like, probably nothing anyone here has ever heard of. And they're like, well, what? Dragon Ball Z. And, like, they were asking for my autograph. I'm like, wow, okay. I'm never going to forget when the Cleveland Browns did the fusion dance in the end zone after a touchdown. I was like, oh, my gosh, I am... like, the validation is intense. Like, you know, and then we were in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade just, like, shortly thereafter. And it's like, I'm blown away. No, the way that this has evolved, I mean, not only are we allowed to evolve as actors, but I'm actually getting to watch the fandom evolve. Doing panels now are completely different. Like, the questions that are being asked are so thought-provoking and enjoyable, and it's just been this incredible, again, it's such a rare experience as an actor to actually get to grow with people and have people actually care about what you're doing in your life. It's amazing. It's been an amazing experience. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alex Nutting of the Geekly Grind.
Hi.
Hi. Dragon Ball Z, as we've kind of surmised right now, is a really world-renowned series.
It's crazy! Yes.
Beloved by fans. Have you felt any pressure being part of the series?
Oh, yeah. That's changed. That's changed so much. And keep in mind, as actors, we're evolving, because it literally feels like this is something we're very comfortable with and we've been doing for a really long time. All of a sudden, everybody knows it. And all of a sudden, like, people care. Like, we're having to check ourselves in ways that we're not used to having to think about, you know. You know, at conventions, being, you know, just being cognizant of there could be a camera on you at all times. I mean, fortunately, I'm a super boring human being, so like nothing ever comes of anything with me. But you know, it just, again, it's like, yes, you have to kind of change your own way of thinking. I've always thought of this as like, you know, I'm just it's like normal, which I still am. Just this, like, I'm a mom. I'm here. It's cool. But I do have to think about it differently. I have to think about social media differently. You know, the way that we're having to present ourselves, the messages that we're getting on social media, you know, whereas before, like, I don't know, it is a completely different scenario. I kind of wish someone could have taken us all in a room before this really exploded and said, okay, hang on, we're going to teach you guys how to do this and how to, you know, we're going to teach you about PR. That would have been a lovely thing, you know? And so we're kind of left to our own devices, because I think that what is forgotten a lot of times, and I've had this discussion even this weekend, is that we're just super normal, real people. Because, you know, a lot of times we get associated either with our characters, or there's this assumption that we kind of live more glamorous lives than what we actually live. And we're just starving actors, man. We're just like voice actors that you know, everybody has something different. People have different jobs. You know, I'm really lucky I do this full time. I own my own production studio, so I, all day, every day, I'm a voice actor. But most of the stuff I do is not that exciting. It is to me, but nobody's going to bring me out to a convention for it. So, like, recently, one of my biggest clients brought me out to their headquarters because we were meeting about a really big project that we were doing, and I went there in full business mode. Like, it was my first time to actually be given a work agenda, and I'm like, oh my god, I have a schedule. I got to pay attention, and I was really nervous to get there. When I got there, they all showed up with their Dragon Ball stuff for me to autograph, and I was like, mind blown. I didn't even know how to handle. I was so taken aback that I had to kind of switch my focus from, like, hi, I'm a professional character, like, no, I'm just an actor. It's this crazy, I'll sign your pop. So it was really, it's been this constant evolving, we're learning as we go. We are learning as we go, because this is, we're kind of breaking ground in some ways to have something, to sit with something for so long. Like, we're not coming on to some show that's like, oh, I know, I'm mentally prepared for how big this is going to be. No, none of us were prepared for this. I mean, we're grateful like crazy, that's for sure.
Thank you.
I guess I'll jump on.
Jump on.
So, I'm David Lozada from King Gamer.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you guys for all being here.
Thank you. Getting back to the history, you know, your history of the show, how were you originally cast in Dragon Ball? And did you have to audition for Goten and Videl separately, or was that one?
Such a good question, and I love this story. So I used to work for, when I was really young, I was hired literally off the street by Disney, and I was given my own show on Radio Disney, along with a guy named Kyle Abear, who went by the name Squeege at the time. Kyle Abear is, by the way, he's the voice of Gohan, and he's also the narrator, or was the narrator for a long time in Z. So we would do this little radio show together on Radio Disney. One day we're flipping through the paper back, that's how long ago this was, and there was an ad in the newspaper for this little company in Fort Worth that was looking for people who could do cartoon voices. Kyle was, Dragon Ball Z was already on the air. Or Dragon Ball. So he was like, no, he knew what it was. I did not. And he's like, we should go to this open call audition. And I was like, yeah, no, I have other things to do. He talks me into it. We go into this bank. And it's literally a bank. It was like, you know, First Nations Bank. I don't even remember. We go into this bank. We go up to the third floor. There's this one tiny little recording booth. And we go in. And by the way, that was Funimation. Funimation was inside a bank in one tiny little room for the first, like, several years that we recorded Z. So the first character that I was cast as was, there were two characters. Lime, I believe, was my very first one. A girl named Lime. And then Upa. In one of the Dragon Ball movies. And then from there, they were like, we're doing this other audition. Funny story, though, about that first audition, Kyle Aber showed up in a Dragon Ball fandom shirt. And so, which you never show up in a to an audition to that. So they were kind of like, eh, but they cast him. And so they, anyway, yeah, so we were in this little bank, and then they had me audition for both Goten and Videl together. And I remember very clearly Videl. I don't remember Goten as much, but I remember when Videl came on the screen, because I have long brown hair, I've got blue eyes, I was young at the time, and so I remember looking up and I'm like, is there another actor you'd consider? Like, this is me. Goten, I was more confused by at first, because I was like, what do you mean girls voice boys? This wasn't something that I was aware of. And so they really had to direct me. They're like, it's got to be really gravelly. It's got to be... So they were directing me into this voice. And I think because of Upa, like, they kind of knew, you know, where they were wanting to go with that. But yeah, I very much remember that first audition. And just being, we were like fish out of water. We didn't know what the heck we were doing. You know, we relied so much on the directors at first.
Cool. Considering that, you know, you're part of this franchise of Dragon Ball,
yes.
Do you feel that not only is it the Dragon Ball community that you're getting, like, all this fandom from, but the Toonami community as well? Because Toonami and Dragon Ball are pretty much peanut butter and jelly at this point.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember the first time that Toonami, and it may have been you guys, that you wished me happy birthday on Twitter. And
we,
I was like...
We try to make everyone on their special.
Like, you blew my mind. I was like, how do they even know who I am? That's so crazy. I mean, the fandom has been incredible. And you can see from things like you guys wishing us happy birthday, and then we'll start getting all these happy birthday messages. And the online support is fantastic. And also how it translates too. That's why I love coming to these conventions. I didn't do them for a few years just because I was a mama and working, and but now my little one's a little bit older, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do some conventions again. And it's been a really fun experience to step back into this world and see how much it's changed in a very short period of time. I feel like people are more they know more about us. How many people have come up and asked me, like, how's your kid? How's your... And again, that's all because of social media and just this relationship that we're able to develop with each other, which can also lead to some kind of crazy stuff. But for the most part, it's just been this rewarding experience. And again, to see it come... translate online, because when you see something on social media and you're seeing, like, you know, Toonami Faithful, or you're watching the different shows, and you're like, but what's that like when you, like, get the people in front of you and just how wonderful everyone is, like, how supportive, and you have no idea how much the actors appreciate just the positivity and the support and the good things that you guys are putting out for us. We just appreciate that so much.
I'm glad that you like the community.
Oh, I do. I do. I'm telling you, I remember the first time you wished me happy birthday, and I was like, shut up, they know me. That's so crazy.
Let's take a bit of a break from talking about Dragon Ball and Toonami.
Okay.
Let's talk about a show that I consider a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine, and that is Heaven's Lost.
Oh, my gosh. So, I love that show.
When playing the character of Nymph,
yes.
What were some of the challenges that came with portraying someone that goes from being, like, really sadistic to practically 180-ing into a more childish and cheerful
Sona. A little bug. Yeah, she's super sassy. Like, I love that character so much because she is so sassy. My challenge with Nymph, and the episode, I mean, how could any of us forget it, was the horrible episode where they made her kill her bird, her pet bird.
Yeah.
And so that was a challenge for me because she goes from this, like, she's definitely more, you know, she's got all this attitude. But then she, like, that was a horrible little story arc to go through. And I like to bring up that emotion and have to tap into that. And I'm like, oh my God. So I was relieved when she just was like, hey, it's cool. I can live without my wings. And she was able to kind of just move on. And it, then we could get to the really fun stuff. That show was directed by Chris Bevins, who's one of my favorite people to work with. And, that whole series was so much fun. But yeah, that bird episode and the wing episode, I was like, good move. Man, we are going to some dark stuff here. Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you brought her up. I love that show so much.
I do too. It's a very underappreciated, good mixture of action, comedy, and drama.
Yeah, it's such a fun show. Thank you. I'm so glad you brought her up.
So you played Chihiro in the...
Another one I love!
...in the Danganronpa anime. Did you play the video game to prepare for the role?
No, I actually knew nothing about it. Because, you know, it's different actors in the video game because it was done in L.A.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about the show. Ironically, another show directed by Christopher Bevins. I guess when he was there, he liked to cast me. That was when he just explained to me everything that was going on. And, of course, in the very beginning, the first, like, before we started recording, he's like, so you're going to go through, like, here's this crazy storyline about all of these things that are going to happen. And, by the way, you're going to die. And I was like, sweet, okay, can I live first? I remember just diving into it. People ask me all the time, is there one show that you wish you could do over again? And hands down, that's it, Danganronpa. Not that I regret any choices that I made in the show. I would probably make the exact same choices. We can't know going in how these characters are going to affect people. And that is a character that has resonated with so many fans that I would love to revisit that character with that knowledge of how important this character is in the grand scheme of things. As an actor, that would be my favorite thing in the world to be able to do, is to go in and know that something really matters. I was given that gift recently, sorry, NDA. I was given that gift recently of being able to visit something I was kind of familiar with, and it was like, this is like, oh, I get this. And like, then you can really bring something extra special to the role, which is such a beautiful thing to get to do. So, yeah, good. You guys are bringing up my favorite stuff.
I'm going to bring it back to Dragon Ball.
You!
So, what was it like to, you know, you play Goten and Videl? What was it like to kind of play off yourself in the show? And it's always interesting story when you...
Okay, yeah. So that's, and in my favorite episode, I mean, the narcissist in me is like, oh my God, I love the learning to fly episode because it's me and me and so much me. That was the first episode. When we first started recording, we were recording to VHS tape. So we would have to do our takes and then rewind the tape and then go back and then we'd have to try to line it up. And then it was a mess. It was so hard to record it in the very beginning before the digital age. I would do all the characters, everything up into the Learning to Fly episode, I would go back and forth between Goten and Videl just because of the difficulty of having to rewind that VHS tape. And then we get to the Learning to Fly episode and they're like, so basically it's just you. And some Gohan. And I was like, well, then I want to make sure that the voices are really separate. Because that was always one of my biggest fears, is I don't want anybody who's able to see this to know that it's the same voice actor. I love that. I didn't want anyone to know that. So I did that one separate. I went in as Goten, then came back in as Videl, or I don't remember which order I did. But then I really liked that, and so I did that from there on out. Is I've kept the characters separate ever since. It's because, because I don't want that. And also the games, it's really hard. Like, you know, when you're doing the reactions, it's hard to really make sure that there's a big separation between the sounds of the two characters. It's also a challenge, and as an actor, that's really fun. And that typically wouldn't happen today where you would, you know, like Chris Abbott, who's like the voice of every character, that wouldn't happen today. You're given your one character because there's so many actors, you know, and for the authenticity of the show, you want everyone to be really different. So that was a gift that we got 20 years ago to be able to voice different characters within the same series. It's really special. It's quite an honor. So,
If there's a show that you were in, whether you can talk about it, hopefully, that you would like to see on Toonami, potentially? Like, anything you would be like, hey, fans, tell Adult Swim to put this, that you have to be in as well?
I mean, honestly, any show that I'm in.
All the shows?
Every show. Every single show. That's such a good question. Unfortunately, it's hard for me because I'm thinking of all the stuff I'm doing right now, which I'm not allowed to talk about. A show that hasn't been on Toonami. I mean, I know Danganronpa never was, and that's one that's touched so many people that I would love to see maybe that one get on there. I love Toonami. I'm allowed to talk about this because you guys, I'm joining season 4 of My Hero Academia. That's a show that it's my first time to get to become a fan of a show before voicing a character in the show. And that one's really special. That one's already there. So I guess I don't have a good answer for that. All of them. Everything I've ever done. It's so good. Thank you guys so much for coming and asking good questions. Thank you.